And so if ever there was a possibility of escaping the human condition and living imaginatively in another creature's world, it must be with a gorilla.
It was an extraordinary sequence. Attenborough was accepted as a playmate, with a young gorilla reclining flat against his stomach, while an adult female toyed with his head.
Sometimes they even allow others to join in.
Now, David Attenborough, nobody who saw that could ever forget it, least of all you. Did you go with completely open minds? You didn't know how they would treat you or receive you?
Well, we had never thought that we would get a really close quarters to them. And John's idea was that when I got to within about half a dozen yards or so, I would then stop and turn to the camera and say the bits and pieces that I had to say. And I turned and I was about to start saying when I felt this hand on the top of my head, a huge weight. I turned my head and there was looking straight in the eyes of this huge female gorilla. And I was supposed to be talking about the grip, the thumb and forefinger, and how that was crucial to human evolution. But it didn't seem to be the right moment to be talking about that sort of thing. So I didn't say anything at all. And the female gorilla then took her forefinger and actually put it in my mouth. My jaw and looked inside my mouth. She then went on doing various things. I was just sitting there like a doll, really. And then two baby gorillas, I assume were her young, came and sat on my legs. And eventually the babies shambled away and she got up and moved off. And I went back to see Martin and John. And I said, that was the most fantastic experience of my life. And John said, Yep, I think we got a few seconds of it, a minute or so. And I said, but I was there for a long time. What do you mean a few seconds? He said, well, Martin only had how much Martin in the camera?
No, I was arguing with John about filming it, actually, because he didn't want to film it.
Why was that?
Because he said it was an evolutionary series and it looked too much like animal magic. We were arguing while you were sitting with those gorillas.
Oh, thanks, pal.
Oh, you know. Well, we knew you could handle yourself, David. Fair dues, you know.
But what's tough on you, Martin, is that people must still think that you hadn't got enough film in the
camera
or
absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely. I'm always getting the blame for it, for sure.
Well, no, wait a minute. That's what the blame is for. I mean, what you recorded, what you filmed, was this intimate moment. And
yes.
It went on for quite long enough as far as the viewer is concerned. So what, you didn't skimp on that, really.
No, no. I unilaterally decided this had to be filmed, really. And, of course, it's now become iconic, hasn't it? I mean, it's amazing, really.
Absolutely. Richard Brock, you remember that
well. I mean, forget the opposable thumb. I mean, that must have been the greatest ad-lib in natural history filming because you didn't have any script, you didn't have any plan for that, as you said. But, I mean, those words are classic words, and I would give credit to the sound man, Dickie Bird.
Were you frightened at any point, especially when you felt the horny hand on your head?
Well, I was a little taken aback with the great hand on the head. But then the amazing thing was, when it surprises me now to speak about it, is that this huge female gorilla looked me straight in the eyes. And I knew, and I'm sure she knew, that neither of us were wishing any harm to the other. It was a paradisial few minutes. How long was I there, Martin?
20 minutes, half an hour, something
well,
like that.
Well, it certainly seemed like half an hour. I've always said, I was there for a few minutes because...
Well, it was longer than that because it took a bit of time for me to try and get John to film it. The very first morning we were there, I crept off by myself as Cameron and Dude to try and get different shots. And I was sitting in a clearing and this little gorilla came and started sitting on my knee and trying to pull the battery lead out of the camera and all that. And eventually I was surrounded by 15 mountain gorillas. In fact, they were getting so close it was a bit difficult to film them sometimes. One saw its reflection in the front of the camera and thought it was another gorilla. So on occasions, I found this opposable thumb around the back of my neck.
and no other humans inside?
No. Well, I didn't think there was. Eventually, they all moved off, and I saw Diane Fossey looking at me from across the clearing.
This is the famous gorilla lady who'd been studying them for years.
Yes, but she was in a dreadful state, really, wasn't she?
She was totally distraught that the first gorilla that she knew as a young male gorilla, one called Digit, and he was inevitably her favourite. And she was conducting a war with the poachers. And the poachers decided to get back at her, and they killed Digit. And she was bereaved. She was racked with tears.
You almost lost that footage, didn't you? Because people got quite excited about what you'd done when you'd done it.
Yes, well, unknown to us, we had got involved in a dispute with the Rwandan authorities. We were accused of making a film about the way they weren't looking after their natural resources, that is, the gorillas, and they wanted to confiscate the film.
Yes, and we were being taken away by the army. And Martin was at the back. I couldn't see what he was doing. And he was fiddling around with something. And what he was actually doing was taking the labels off the cans that we'd just shot, putting it away and putting an unused label on it so that if they confiscated the film, they would be confiscating film that had never been shot in the first place.
I hid the exposed film, yeah. And they eventually did confiscate it. And I gave them rolls of film, which were unexposed.
Jane, you must have been waiting anxiously. I don't know how much communication you had generally when people were a long way away, but to see the rushes of this amazing encounter.
Yes, well, we had no communication with them at all. And in fact, the rushes came back before the crew did. And I went down to view them. I can't remember, was it with you, Mike, that we went down together to view them? And I remember sitting there with my mouth open, thinking, this is completely unique. This is going to be completely overwhelming for the viewer. Just to sit in this small, dark room, watching the rushes go through, to see this fantastic sequence with David, it just is the most unbelievable privilege.
Would you say that those 20 minutes that you spent with that gorilla family were perhaps amongst the most remarkable, or the most remarkable of your very long career?
Oh, yes, yes, there can't be any question about that. And indeed, the most influential, I think, in the sense that the sequence has been used over and over again for guerrilla conservation. And the marvellous thing now is that in spite of all the appalling wars in Rwanda, there are more mountain guerrillas alive now than there were then.